Welcome to From Doubt to Drive, Entrepreneurs Only. Join us on an inspired journey through the ups and downs of successful entrepreneurs. Our hosts, Mario C. Bauer and Florian Schneider, will explore how conquering doubt is essential for entrepreneurs to truly unleash drive. By being a part of our community, you too can learn how to propel from doubt to drive. So tune in, buckle up, and enjoy.
Florian, before we come to the next guest, I need to ask you a question. Are you more the ketchup guy or are you more the mustard guy?
Oh, that's a difficult question. It depends on what I eat.
So let's say the bratwurst. What we do with the bratwurst?
Then I'm a mustard fan. I'm from Bavaria, so I'm actually into Weisswurst and sweet mustard. So that's
okay. Then I think, Florian, you're gonna have a lot of fun with the next guest. So let me say a little bit about the next guest before we welcome him. So you maybe have not eaten yet any mustard from him. Although in Germany and in Austria, there's no way not to eat his mustard, but you definitely have eaten his products in one of the McDonald's around the world. I want to welcome Michael Durach, the CEO of Develi. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
I'm so happy to have you here, Michael, because we have a short but very intense history, which we will touch later on in the interview. But I met Michael in our cooperation and partnership and sheltership in Curtis Brothers in one of the ventures. And I discovered a deep foundation of leadership and storytelling. And I thought to Florian, we need to get Michael on board because he can tell us a lot about a very successful German Mittelstand and also about family companies. So, Michael, I give a little bit background about your company and correct me if I don't get the facts right, but Develi, fourth generation, 175 years old, exporting in 65 countries, mustard, sauces, and pickles, we'll come to that, with own brands. In Germany, basically, you own the mustard market. In Austria also, I'm Austrian, so you own my favorite brand there. And you have 2,500 employees, and you produce sauces for McDonald's, and you have 16 production sites. So it's a really, really sizable company. Did I get the facts right, Michael?
Yeah, that's right. But that's right. There are some big ones, but also some very small local ones as well.
Okay. So I want to start with the topic of the family companies, Michael, because running a family company, obviously, it is very difficult to have the boundaries between family and business. And I want to ask you, you're running the company together with your brother, how much of your own family values is in the company and how much of the companies is in you? So how much is Michael Durach Develi and how much Develi is Michael Durach? How much is that overlapping?
I would say just I'm the company. I think in a family company, you always have the culture of the family. And so it's very hard to bring this not together. And I think a family company means full dedication, company first. And that's why, unfortunately, and this sounds tough, but family is always second.
Mm. And how does the family handle that?
It's not easy, especially now when sometimes the kids come up and say, "Oh, you never were there." That hurts. But this is what you have as a backpack when you run a family company. Maybe there's people that do it differently, but in our case, it was always either you're 100% in or it's that's our life. Huh? And that's why we love it. And when you love something, there is no difference between private and family and company, because especially in a family company, it's always about the company and of course family. It's linked together.
And I really have to say, Michael, when we met, I always felt very welcome from you, and I thought you're a great guy. And then I met the first person from your company, and she was great. And I met the second person, and I said, like, does this guy only have great guys? And I really thought this culture was really deeply embedded. So the culture is really deeply embedded in Develi.
And it's about trust. And when you have people that you trust, then all of a sudden you create an atmosphere like in a family. Because in the family without trust, it's also hard. And so that's why we as Develaies, as we call you, we are like we are.
Michael, this is a podcast which we said is from entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs, and we really dig deep into the struggles and troubles of an entrepreneur, and with our friends with Clive, who you know, and Henry, because we had a company together, we did that already. And the first question we asked to really dig deep, you have a portfolio around the world on companies and different struggles. But if you really travel back, what was the biggest problem so far you faced? What was really an existential struggle in your career? And if you can share a little bit about that struggle, what would you pick?
I think this was directly at the beginning when I joined the company after a while, because after university, I was working for a big company. Was in the consumer goods, and then all of a sudden you come to your own company that is much smaller, and all of a sudden you realize that when you see, and especially in retail, customers, the only thing that I always heard, if you don't do this, I throw you out. If you don't reduce the price, then we're gonna do this to you. So, and for me, that was sticking so much into me, saying, do I really want to carry on like that and spend my life always being pushed and suppressed? And I said, I need to make sure that I create a company environment that I can say no. Mm-hmm. And that was for me the biggest thing, because especially when you are being thrown out and you always fear that you come in as the next generation. And of course, you want to make sure that you hand the company to the next generation better than you received it. And then you have those doubts when you come in the early stage and say, okay, what's going to happen next? And that was something that really changed myself, but at the end also the company, because I made sure that we come to a stage that we get that independence is something that we write very, very big in our company. And independence from banks, from assortments, from countries, politically, but also from customers. And that helped us surviving.
And Michael, this very strong, what you said, to say, to create an environment where you're not depending and where you keep your independence. How did you create that? Because that's now it sounds easy from your yeah. mouth, but you took over a company from your dad. You said it was small, but it was actually, how big was it when you took over? Actually quite a size.
I mean, it was a tenth of that. Well, what it was a less than a tenth as it is today, but at the end, to determine who are your partners, mm-hmm. make sure that you strengthen those relationships where you have a strong partnership, and put everything into that one. Make sure that you get out of things where you think it's also from the people side, but also from strategy side, not linked to our strategy in the family business, but also in the company. So that's why I always try to develop markets with partners that have the same cultural understanding. So we don't mind negotiating hard, but when I don't feel trust in a certain, then I rather go a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. And other partnerships and partners where there was a trust base, then we moved the gear. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. I would have a question, Michael, if I may, because you said family is second and company is first. Did you ever had doubts when you took over from your father? Because I can imagine you experienced the same. Your father and your grandfathers, they built up that company, so they put the company obviously also in first place, and you and your brother and your family in second, and then you decided to take it over. You ever had any doubts about that?
No, I of course I was also suffering like that, but all of a sudden you're in the wheel. And I mean, when I started, I didn't have kids. And then, you know, I didn't manage to get out of this wheel early enough, because you're completely in, you're committed, and you don't see it. And that's what I see now, retrospective, that you don't see it at the beginning, because probably also because you don't want to see it and you don't want to hear it. Mm. And that's probably the thing where I would say, what I tell my kids today, don't do the same mistake again.
So you don't expect your kids to take over the company in the future?
Yes, but they have to do it differently. Everybody is different. Every person is different. But I just try to tell them what mistakes I did and ask them not to do them. And then they have to decide by themselves, like I had to decide, because somebody would argue, I mean, don't complain because you took the decision. And I have to say, yes, right, I took the decision. Today, I have to say, for the company, it was good. For the family, maybe not that good. But at the end, we have a very good relationship with our kids. I'm married for 25 years, so apparently it was still okay. they still love me.
They still. I'm sure they love you, Michael. You said you grow the company together with your brother 10 times since you took it over. And part of the growth is obviously also the internationalization. So if you share any struggle on doing that, because growing out of Germany, you build production sites around Europe, you build one in US, as I know, you have different partnerships, you said. So in the scope of internationalization, of growing outside of the borders, what struggles, what problems, what really major roadblocks did you hit on that journey?
Are you an entrepreneur experiencing growth pains? Your business is expanding rapidly, but you're grappling with obstacles such as people, structure, or funding. Perhaps it's time to challenge your current approach, seek other perspectives, and to discover new tactics to overcome these hurdles. Come and join our seminar, Navigate Uncertainty with Confidence, your retreat, reset, restart, Sri Lanka, from the 7th to the 14th of September. For more information, please visit www.fromdoubttodrive.com. And now, back to the show.
Roadblocks were mostly in those countries where you didn't speak the language, where you could not directly talk to everybody. Because our culture is a very strong one that you just said. And we have this culture through everybody in our company, from people on the production floor or also in the management. So in those countries, it's not so easy to go to the production floor and talk to everybody. And that was because you cannot feel the pulse like that. So you have to make sure that people tell you. But after a while, you get an experience. And I mean, usually when you look in people's eyes, you can already read a lot if somebody is happy or not. But I think those are the structures. Or when you have to... When you take over a company and you have to trust people that you don't know for a long time. So in this time where trust is being created, the question, is this the right person? And so that's also something where you have like an unease feeling. And sometimes it's going much faster and sometimes it takes some time. The worst thing is when you are getting disappointed. And especially I always work with give somebody trust first, and you will be getting back also the results and the trust. And if then you realize that apparently this was misused, that's a downfall. But I mean, at the end, you have to correct it. And then the good thing is, I mean, we are pretty close to the company and pretty much involved into operation. So it goes pretty fast until we realize what's going on. And since we have, even with the language barrier, a good collaboration or also understanding with the people, I received a lot of information, even if it was in a different language, and you can have it translated. And then I knew what was going on.
Mm. In this growing phase, growing so heavily, what was the biggest risk retrospective you took? Maybe you didn't even see it back then, but when did you really put the company at risk by growing or betting on a country or betting on a client or betting on a product? Was there any time looking back now where you say, okay, this was a pretty heavy stake I put at risk, or you were always safe betting?
We never put the company really at risk with a decision. So we could have grown much faster, and then we probably would have had a risk. But we never had a risk. The biggest risk was where at the beginning, at the early stages, when there was the one or other customer with more than 50% of share. And that was a risk at that time. And and that was also my drive to develop the company, was to get the share down without saying no to a good customer.
That worked out? You managed that?
It worked out. Yeah.
Okay.
This accelerated us, I have to say.
I want to talk a little bit about Schwellenangst. For you, we don't need to translate it, but it's really funny because in English, that word doesn't exist. It's the fear of threshold and borders. And when you watch any kind of Disney movie or fairy tale, you always have these moments where the main character, the hero, is standing in front of a big obstacle. Yeah. And you need to overcome that obstacle to basically come out as a hero. It's the traditional Disney and the Lord of the Rings story. But what it really does in this phase of a Schwellenangst, when you face an obstacle, although you know that you have to go above this Schwelle, above this threshold and board, it's very difficult to do because you're in your comfort zone. You know what you have now, even if it's painful, but then you have to overcome that and you have to make that step. And as an entrepreneur, Michael, we have that a lot of times, because we a lot of times need to go to the unforeseen. We need to open a new product line. You need to open a new country. And every time you take the risk in that unforeseen. What is helping you doing that? What are you doing in that situation? Are you trying to talk to people? Are you trying to align with your brother? Are you looking at numbers? What do you do to comfort you to make such a step? Because nobody knows what is behind that door. We all need to assume. So what is what you use? Because we get different answers from different entrepreneurs. Everybody says he has the same fears, but what is it what you do when you face that Schwellenangst?
Usually I would say, don't think, just go. Mm-hmm. But one thing is important. The question that you ask yourself, is it killing me or just hurting me if something is going wrong? If it's hurting you, stand up and go. If it's killing you, then you might have to rethink. And I'm sure that the best thing is always, as an entrepreneur, and especially when you are coming from the sales side, you go. You are not there to stop and think. This is more the accounting part. So I think the important thing is that you have people around you. Is it a very good and a really good friend, or is it somebody you trust in your close area? It can be in the company or without the company, can be even in the family, that gives you an honest answer, because you have a lot of people that are always in doubts, and you have more people that are telling you why you should not do it. Mm-hmm. And usually you're the only one with a few exemptions that would say go. So I think it's important that you consult people that keep you from being killed, and then just go. Mm-hmm.
Arnold Schwarzenegger said in his last book, he said, don't listen to the naysayers. Yeah, don't listen to the naysayers.
Yes.
That would be with other words. Florian, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, Michael, because you are leading the company together with your brother. Do you have some kind of sparring if any one of you is in a situation of doubt where you consult your amongst each other and give help there? How do you do that?
Absolutely. We are a little bit, we are our own yin and yang. I mean, because he's the accountant, so he is more the nay and I am the yay.
that sounds like a tough battle.
But no, it's not a battle, because I think we realize that on the one side, I have to say, I have a fellow shareholder that is fine with going into countries, maybe also countries where you don't know what you expect. On the other side, I know also that I have the responsibility to really take a decision that is not chaos. Huh? So, but we discuss the things, and at the end, there is again also this mutual trust base where it's good that you have one that is thinking maybe twice or three times things, and then the other one who moves forward. Huh? And I think that was also bringing up our company, that we never did any really stupid stuff. But on the other side, we in some areas we thought thoroughly, and it was good to maybe think about it, huh? Mm-hmm. Or look at it from a different angle, because sometimes you are blindsided because you only see one area. And that's what I meant when you consult with people that are telling you the truth or have different angles where they look onto the same animal. And I always use the picture of the elephant. Both are talking about an elephant, but one looks at the trunk and the other one at the tail. And they tell you two stories, but at the end, it's the same animal. So sometimes you need to walk around it to find the real truth. True.
I can confirm that, being now in Sri Lanka, that the animal, that the elephant looks very different from the bottom, from the back, from the front. So, Michael, that means in general, when you struggle, you rather consult, as you said, than isolate yourself and trying to find the solution alone. So you're more a person who goes out and talking, and through talking and sharing, you finding solutions. Is that your way?
Definitely, I go out and talk, because the more people you consult, the more input you get, and then I make up my mind. Mm. I think the worst thing is when you trust, because when you sit at home and just talk to yourself, you only have one angle.
Interesting.
But so at the end, you have to judge then. You have to take a decision. That's something where I think that's the entrepreneurship part where you, because there's nobody else, you have to take the decision. And it cannot be too long.
If that's an interesting point, because we had it in another discussion with another guest once. How would you take, in doubt, how would you take a decision then? You flip a coin, or gut feeling, or what would you...
Gut
feeling.
Gut feeling. Because there's data and then there's gut. And at the end, we know that the nervous system is much better. I mean, of course, the number should be right, but sure. I think the gut feeling is something that makes the difference, because to take a safe decision based on numbers, everybody can do that. But the gut feeling is the one that is the difference between the entrepreneur and somebody that is just taking decisions, because the gut feeling, the analyst, because the gut feeling is something. And at the end, sometimes you have a good feeling. At the end, when you have more good decisions than bad decisions, then you're a good entrepreneur, because there's always something that goes wrong.
that's true. Clive also said that 51% of the decisions need to be right. Anyway, Michael, you also, besides being the leader within your own company and within the joint ventures, you and your brother act as investor. And what is different from the Michael Durach as a leader of his own thing, and what is the Michael as a board member or investor? What do you try to do differently? Because obviously you cannot run several companies next to each other. How do you, because you're a very strong leader and a very strong character, how do you handle your investments? How do you act there in case of struggles, not like in general, like when one of your investments is struggling, what are you doing?
I try to understand it better, especially those areas that I don't understand, because usually your investments that are not always 100% identical to your business, because otherwise you would do it. I consult with the first with the management. Is it the founder or whoever leads the company? And also try to put myself into the position and try to understand what would be my decision if I would be in his or her seat. to reflect on that. And then again, I would try to see who would be a person that I can consult and see what would we do.
Just a small disclosure here. Like Michael has been an investor in my company and actually took it over. And it was not always easy. But I said to him at the end, and I really mean it, I said, it only worked out because you really acted like as a true care about the company. You put the company first. You didn't put yourself first. You didn't put your ego first. And only because you put the company first, we overcame all that struggle. So I can just confirm that as a small disclosure that this is right. Florian, you wanted to say something. Sorry.
No, not in this case, but we are basically, if we're checking the time, we are almost coming to an end. What I would like to know, Michael, is there something that keeps you up at night right now? Is there an actual topic you might share with us where you say, this is an actual problem, maybe in your company, maybe in the world, I don't know, where you say, this is a problem that needs a solution?
Oh, problems. I mean, there's a lot of things going on at the moment. On the one side, we have our ecological crisis. We have all those kind of new political realities, I would call it. At the moment, we have in more than 100 countries, we have armed conflicts or wars, where we have to think, how do we manage that for the future? I mean, what keeps me awake at night is things that we cannot change ourselves. And that's at the moment our political situation that we have in Germany, where I say, how do we get out of this? Because you cannot just say, okay, we are not a company. You cannot just... But at the end, really what's keeping me up, I mean, it's those things that you cannot influence directly. You can try as a company that you do at least things that are also contributing to those things. But I don't have sleepless nights, to be honest. But those are the things that you start thinking about. Okay, how do I make sure that I get, with all those things that are going on around the world right now, turn the company to the next generation, give it to the next generation? How do I have to prepare them that they overcome the obstacles that may be coming then from that situation?
I have, before we come to the last question, Florian, Michael, I have one more question. When you just said at the beginning, you said you worked at an external company, then you took over the family business. And it was 27 years ago or so, you said, I think, before. And I think when you took over, you had certain thoughts of character traits or strengths. You probably thought, I need to be 1, 2, 3, 4 to be successful. Now, looking back 27 years, what is really essential to have done that? So you started with a perception, you probably said, okay, if I do 1, 2, 3, 4 right, I will be successful. But now, looking back, what was it that you had to do right to be successful?
I think be yourself. Don't try to mimic somebody that you are not. So try to be yourself. Secondly, listen. And just treat people the way you like to be treated.
That's strong rules. If we would all follow that, Florian, we will have better companies and a better world.
Absolutely.
to the last question, Michael, we always like this is, as I said, a podcast from entrepreneurs to entrepreneurs, and it's especially in struggles, because entrepreneurs, when they struggle, they always think, oh, I'm so alone, nobody understands me. But this podcast should give the help that successful people like you and the others we interview, they had the same struggles and the same obstacles and the same doubts to overcome before they thrive. And it was very great that you shared all of that. So when you have to coach somebody, or when somebody comes to you, an entrepreneur who is basically at the end, who is without the last energy gone, What is your standard tool set, or what's your standard thing to help him or her coming out of that situation? What are you doing as a mentor to help entrepreneurs when they are stuck? What do you advise them?
Try to take a decision, because the worst thing is when you are stuck, that you think the problem will solve itself. And sometimes it's tough to take a strong decision very early, but at the end, you will be better long term. If you wait too long and think, and because this is also something personal, if you think it's better for you if you don't decide, but at the end it will be worse in the situation. So try to decide. And at the end, you never know if your decision is right or wrong. And I'm sure that everybody's bases the decision on numbers and also some knowledge. But at the end, rather take, even if it's a tough decision now, than postponing it, and don't just wait until the environment will be solving your problem. They will not. And if they do, or it does, then not to your comfort long term.
I think that's a very strong advice at the end. And I think also a red line, we've done several interviews with strong leaders, Michael, and a lot of advice is different, but one advice is almost always the same. You need to act. You need to take back the control, as you said, and you need just to go. We're within our time. Michael, thank you so much for opening up and sharing all your struggles. You help a lot the community out there. Thank you so much, and goodbye.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
So, Mr. Schneider, mustard user and mustard king. What did we learn from the mustard king, Florian?
Again, I would say a very interesting conversation we had with Michael Durach. Interestingly, he also said, and that stuck in my head because it is the last advice he gave, you have to take a decision. I mean, we heard that before, but try to take a decision very early and don't wait too long. I think this is, again, a very good learning and a strong message that I put
definitely
on.
I think it becomes already a red line on that. And the more I think about that, I mean, you have it in all the books, but hearing it really from the entrepreneurs, unscripted and unprepared, because we don't share the questions, as you know, and all say instinctively the same, you need to take a decision. But for me, what is really great, and I know Michael quite well, and I like that he's so unscripted, to be that honest and say family second. I mean, if you think about that, this sentence has so many implications, because at the end of the day, we all look at entrepreneurs and we sometimes maybe jealous and say like how successful they are and what they can afford and what they can do. But then when you hear how much you have to sacrifice, especially in this German or in this European Mittelstand families, where you feel the burden of the father handing over to you and then you struggling through and then passing it on to the kids. He said he will not pass it on to the kids, but it, like, family second is a strong one.
I wrote that down myself because it I think a lot of people can subscribe to this if they are entrepreneurs and work and hardworking people. And he also said, I mean, full dedication, company first. And I think that it's really true. Mm. Another learning that I wrote down is actually you have to give trust first and you'll get trust back.
I like that too.
Also a very strong message that you being self-confident is also something that can be very helpful in the first place and it will get back to you.
I'm now looking at my notes. He had a nuance on this just act in the middle, not at the end. Mm. But when he said, like, you don't think too much, just go. And then he said, you need to think, will that kill you or just hurt you?
Yeah.
And I really like the differentiation, because he also said that they have never took that big risk decision to put the company. Yeah. But I'm sure they took hundreds of decisions where the company could be hurt. And I like that. Like, can that kill you or could it just hurt you? I think that was a very smart nuance.
Yeah, and following to that, he said, if it just hurts you, stand up and go. Mm-hmm. And then he further said that you as an entrepreneur are not there just to stand and think. You have mm-hmm. also to go. And this is, you have to march forward and lead the way.
Yeah. And then here, as I said, being in Sri Lanka, obviously the elephant story stick with me, that people talk about the elephant, meaning the problem, and one sees the problem from that angle and describes the elephant from the front, and the other one sees the elephant from the back and describes it, and both are surprised that they don't understand each other. I really like that. And in the same kind of sequence, he said, and I think we need to dig deeper into that, Florian, in the next conversation, is the gut feeling versus data.
Absolutely.
I think that was new, that somebody really said, and proudly said, and successfully said, as we heard, I go with my gut.
Yeah. I had that also. If you wouldn't have mentioned it, I would have. It's very interesting, and I think we have to go back to that gut feeling, first impressions, all these things that are in a way irrational, but also I think strong leaders and entrepreneurs are very fond of that.
Mm. And I think the last one, Florian, is like when you ask what keeps you up at night, he mentioned all things which he said at the end he cannot influence, the ecological, not directly influence, the ecological situation and the political situation. And I think this unknown, this is a lot of things what keeps us entrepreneurs up at night, because we cannot directly influence. We can adjust, and we have to adjust and need to take actions, he said. But that was interesting too.
Yeah.
A lot of learnings.
Absolutely.
Again. So I'm looking forward to the next one, Mr. Mustard.
Is there mustard in Sri Lanka, by the way?
No, there is like, it's a very good question, Florian, because I was supposed to cook for our guest family yesterday. And my dish, because I cook European for them and they cook Sri Lankan food to me, there was mustard. So I went to the supermarket and I looked for mustard. And there is two chains here, and I went. So I didn't get them in the local stores, obviously. So long story short, no. That's actually, we should tell Michael. I should have told him.
New market.
Bring the mustard at new market. Thank you, Florian. That was
a lot of fun.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, we hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we did. But sharing is not just caring, it is also empowering. So recommend this podcast to fellow entrepreneurs who might need a dose of inspiration. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you'll never miss out on future episodes. Thank you for being part of the community from Doubt to Drive, Entrepreneurs Only. Mario and Florian are already gearing up for the next episode. Until then, stay tuned, stay driven, and we'll be back next week.